You're listening to the MLB Pipeline Podcast with your host, Ed Randall.
Happy holiday to those celebrating the Jewish holidays. Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, and welcome to the MLB.com Pipeline Podcast. I'm joined by our draft and minor league experts, Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo. Jonathan also serving as our troubadour. The postseason is almost here, and uncertainty reigns. Just look at the American League. Toronto and Kansas City, acknowledged as the two best teams in the league, are in. The Yankees look like they'll be returning to the playoffs after an absence of a couple of years, but it's a dogfight among Minnesota and Houston and Texas nipping at each other's heels. Guys, who are the rookies playing key roles in the pennant chase? Jim, we'll start with you first.
Well, I mean, I think we saw one last night. We just want to talk about these guys on a team-by-team basis. We saw one play a big role last night. Slade Heathcott, the oft-injured former Yankees first-round pick, hit a game-winning home run in the ninth inning in Tampa Bay. I don't think he'll play the most prominent role in the Yankees, although he certainly did last night. But with Mark Teixeira injured, Ed, I mean, Greg Bird has kind of taken over an everyday job in the lineup, and he's hitting for power and drawing walks, which are the two things he does best. And Luis Severino, really, since they called him up after not trading him at the trade deadline, has been, for all intents and purposes, their best starting pitcher. You know, maybe looking a little bit tired his last two starts in September, but I think, you know, assuming the Yankees hold on to their lead, which is three games right now in the wild card race, if they hold on to that lead, I would expect Greg Bird and Luis Severino to play major roles in the postseason as well, October and September.
Jonathan, what do you think?
When I saw Slade Heathcott homer, I mean, he was one of those guys that I think most people had just assumed would end up on that scrap heap of guys who had tremendous tools and never made it. In fact, when he got called up to begin with, I was like, Slade Heathcott? Really? Just because of how often he's been injured, every time he's back on the field, it's like he's starting over again and never really was productive regularly at the minor league level, but I think, his role is going to be limited. I think Jim hit the Yankees guys on the head. I'll throw in Chasen Shreve, who's, has been a very, very productive member of their bullpen, and as a rookie this year, is, you know, not a guy who gets a lot of buzz, as a lefty out of the pen, but has helped solidify things for the Yankees from the left side.
What about the other clubs, Jim?
Well, I think the team that has probably the most rookie influence as it comes down the stretch is probably the Twins. They're a game out in the wild card race right now. They haven't gone away, but I mean they've got three everyday players who are rookies, including two elite prospects. Miguel Sano has been unbelievable since he's been up. I mean he's been every bit, you know, he's probably been at bat the best rookie hitter since the Twins have called him up. They've got Byron Buxton, who's still number one on the MLB Pipeline top 100 prospects list because he hasn't gone over the 130 at bats that would graduate him to the big leagues. But Byron Buxton's playing every day, and then he kind of overshadowed a little bit. Eddie Rosario is also an everyday player for them. So they've got three guys in their lineup. One of their best starters in the last month and a half after a very rocky first big league game, but since then Tyler Duffy has been one of their best starters. I don't think anybody necessarily expected him to play that role. If you'd look to their farm system come into the year, I think you would have counted on maybe Alex Meyer or Jose Berrios being that rookie starter, but he's been very good. And Trevor May has also done a nice job on the bullpen. So I think the Twins probably have as much rookie influence as any of these American League teams that are fighting for playoff spots.
Sano, 16 home runs in his first 207 at-bats. His 957 OPS is tops among American League rookies and a leading reason why the Twins might return to the postseason for the first time since 2010. Jonathan, who's catching your eye?
Yeah, I think, one of the things that surprised me is that, that since Buxton has come back, that he is playing as regularly as he has. And I keep, waiting for him to sort of, figure things out is maybe a little unfair, but maybe be a little more productive. I think it speaks more to what their options in center field are or where they think the best option in center field is. And, Trevor May is an interesting guy because he was a guy throughout his days as a prospect. The question always was, well, is he going to end up in the bullpen eventually? And, you know, actually made it up as a starter and did some halfway decent things as a starter. But since he's been moved into the bullpen, he's overall pitched very well. 31 strikeouts and 26 in the third innings, a 308 earned run average. You know, not walking guys, only six walks. And that's had been a thing that had been troubling for him throughout his career as a starter. And the power stuff plays up out of the bullpen. But I like the fact that guys like Taylor Duffy, you know, have been so impactful. You know, it's not always the big-name guys. Sano is maybe a bit of an exception in terms of what we're talking about today in the American League, in terms of the sort of high-profile guys who've come up and made this huge impact. But a lot of times it's the Duffys and the Slade Heathcotts with the pinch-hit home run. The guys that step up and do big things down the stretch, whether or not they end up playing regular roles or end up on playoff rosters is another matter altogether. But it is interesting to see what the Twins are doing. And that's without the one guy, I think, Jim, you would agree with me, you know, the one guy that we think should be up in Jose Berrios, who could really help out that pitching staff down the stretch. But the Twins have decided, maybe because of the amount of innings he logged, to not call him up. But with them being as close as they are, I'm a little surprised that they haven't called that they hadn't called him up to help out that pitching staff.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think what happened, I mean, just looking at it from the outside, but I think this was a team that probably didn't expect to contend this year, never thought they'd have a situation where they'd be contemplating what do we do with Jose Berrios, both in terms of managing his innings. You know, he's pitched a career high in innings this year, over 160, and in the fact that he doesn't have to be added to the 40-man roster until after the 2016 season. I think, you know, their contention kind of snuck up on him a little bit, and they never really had a plan as to, you know, coming into the year as to what to do if Berrios, you know, if they contended. You know, looking back at this, and again, in hindsight, it's 2020, but, I mean, if you're going to let him pitch 160-plus innings, I don't see why you let him, well, you know, even if you're going to shut him down at a point, you know, we were not even going to get into the whole Matt Harvey situation, right. But even if you're going to shut Berrios down at a specific inning number, why not call him up and have him pitch some of those innings in the big leagues? Why not, if when you know in June that you're contending, you know, maybe you don't know how long it's going to last, but you're contending, you know, maybe you skip a start once a month with Berrios. Maybe you limit him to five innings, you know, to save some innings. I'm with you. I think that could have been handled better. And, you know, right now they're a game outside the playoffs. Their starter spent most of August getting shelled while Berrios was pitching very well in AAA. And, you know, if the Twins wind up missing out in the playoffs by a game or two, I think, you know, we've asked this question. We could continue to ask it, Jonathan. You know, why didn't they call up Jose Berrios? And would it have made the difference? Because he might have made a difference of a game or two.
Let's look at the rookies in the context of contending teams for the next 3 weeks. Jonathan, the guys that you're looking at who might have the most impact over the remainder of the season.
Well, I think the two teams we haven't really talked about yet are the AL West, which has suddenly become this huge, really fun to watch race between the Astros and the Rangers, and obviously both teams have relied to a certain respect on prospects. Let's talk about the Rangers. It's interesting, this is an aside and not necessarily for this podcast, when they traded for Cole Hamels and everyone was thinking, well, I guess that's more a move for next year, and here we are, and they're right in the thick of things. But I think it's been interesting to see the contributions they've gotten over the course of the year. Delino DeShields has been one of the more impactful Rule 5 picks, I think, in recent memory, playing, you know, every day in center field. Chichi Gonzalez has made an impact on the pitching staff. They even brought, you know, Luke Jackson up, and he's tried to help out of the bullpen. And the guy that I think is sort of interesting to watch is Joey Gallo, who came up, immediate impact, then, you know, looked kind of like I think people expected him to look. In terms of being a little overmatched, a lot of swing and miss, obviously. And since he's been back up, he's homered once. It was the one game where he, you know, started and got four at-bats, and he's been using the pinch-hitting role, which, you know, if you catch lightning in the bottle on the right at-bat, he's, you know, he can change the game with one swing. But I was looking. He's had 16 at-bats in September so far, and he's collected 10 strikeouts. So, I don't know that he's the kind of guy who, playing every so often one at-bat, it's going to work for him just because of all that swing and miss. But he to me, is the guy that is fun to watch anytime you do see him come up in the on-deck circle, just because he has that potential to turn to change the game so quickly with his power. I don't know, Jim, if you think that kind of role works for a guy like that, just because he does swing and miss so much.
Yeah, it's not optimal, obviously, because he does swing. It's when he came up to big leagues for the first time, he hit for power and he struck out a ton. Then he went to AAA, where he hadn't played before. He was in AA before his promotion. And really, hit occasional home runs, but struck out a boatload. He's always struck out, but he struck out a ton. And I don't think this is a situation where they're counting on him for a whole lot. I mean, they're contending. Right now they are, a half game out of the AL West lead, and they would claim the final wild card spot by a half game. So it's a situation where I think you just have him on hand for, like you said, Jonathan, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe you have a situation where you need a three-run homer and you pinch hit him. And the odds are when Joey Gallo comes up, he might hit that three-run homer, or if he doesn't, he's probably going to strike out. But, Adrian Beltre is a better player than he is right now, offensively and defensively. So you're just not in a situation where you can give him regular at-bats. One more Ranger who's probably worth mentioning, and he's had a real nice year as a rookie, is Keone Kella, the relief pitcher. He was kind of the talk of spring training. He was spectacular. He's really had a nice year, ERA of 2.57, very solid year in pitching kind of middle relief for the Rangers. So there's another guy. It's interesting because I think the Rangers have had one of the best farm systems coming into the season, and it's depleted now. But as Jonathan said, they were able to trade a bunch of guys to get Cole Hamels, five of their top 30 prospects. Before the season, they put together a prospect package to get Yovani Gallardo, and they also added Will Venable for kind of fringy prospects. So they probably of these four teams have fewer rookies making an impact right now, but they were able to use a lot of their best prospects, or a lot of their top prospects, right, to go out and make some significant acquisitions. The team, the Astros, who they have faded a little bit here, but they're still hanging on. Half game lead right now in the AL West, and I think it's a game and a half over the Twins for the final wild card spot. If it came to that, Carlos Correa, one of the front runners for American League Rookie of the Year. Lance McCullers is probably been the best rookie pitcher in the American League as well. Those two guys continue to play key roles for the Astros, and a couple guys in complementary roles who've had nice seasons for them. Preston Tucker, power, he's kind of their fourth outfielder right now. Big home run in their big rally, five run rally, ninth inning on Sunday. And Vincent Velasquez, who came up this year, I think a little unexpectedly, and pitched pretty well as a starter. Now that they've acquired Mike Fiers, he's being used in a bullpen role. But, they've got four rookies playing prominent roles as they try to, go from having the worst record in baseball three straight years to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Tucker is the kind of guy who I could see him be, we talk about Gallo and how it's not optimal in terms of that pinch hitting role, but I could see Tucker being the kind of guy, just because he's got a decent approach at the plate. He doesn't necessarily have to play every single day for him to contribute. I could see him, and he's got some power as well, in terms of what he can do. And Velasquez was really good out of the bullpen initially. He's gotten beat up initially. One guy we should mention who got was a September call was Michael Feliz, and not necessarily a guy, again, who's going to land on the postseason roster, but it. I think any time when you get to the end of the season, you have a guy who can come out of the bullpen and just give you more options. And he's thrown pretty well. Struck out 4 3 2/3 innings. He's only given up one hit. And I wonder if he's the kind of guy that, if he shows an ability to get some big outs, whether or not his role could grow for the rest of September, at least in terms of getting high leverage innings to get some key hitters out along the way.
Boy, who would imagine a year like this, where we spend so much time talking about all these impactful rookies and the effects that they could have as we go down the stretch here until the regular season ends. Thank you both. And on behalf of Jonathan Mayo and Jim Callis, I'm Ed Randall. Thanks for listening to the MLB.com Pipeline Podcast.